nationally. So in addition to defeating the Steelers and beating up the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day, looks like the Bills are going to give the Pats a real battle. We also have the Texans over the Buccaneers, with a lot of credit to Jameis Winston for helping to turn Perriman into a receiving star after losing Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Deshaun Watson's a winner. It's going to be hard to go against him when the win clinches the AFC South for Houston. So Houston's got all the incentive in the world over the Bucs. The 49ers are going to meet the Rams, and I think the Niners will suffer a little bit, but they're going to win out. I think the Niners are going to be bringing their A game, and it's going to be tough. Meanwhile, you've got the bottom of the barrel, the Giants over the Redskins. The Giants are hosting the Redskins, and they're actually favored to win. This could be the last game for Eli Manning, or the next to the last game. We're going to probably see Daniel Jones show up, but you know, this. Everybody thinks the Redskins are favored. You got the Jets playing the Steelers, and maybe the planets are going to line up for the Jets to upset the Steelers. Jamal Adams and Quinnen Williams are expected back, and each team has a few extra days before to get ready. The Steelers are traveling after a Sunday night loss. I don't think that matters. But the Jets are 4-2 at home with Sam Darnold starting. So maybe we're going to see a vision of or preview of coming attractions for next year. We've got something very interesting going on, I think, over in Philadelphia. In Dallas. Everybody's favoring the Eagles over the Cowboys, although I think, even though I'm an Eagles fan, I think Dallas is going to have some problems. Dallas demolished the Rams last week, and that was a pretty good game. They played better than anything the Eagles have done over the past month or so, but Prescott's shoulder's in trouble, and the Eagles have always been great as underdogs for Doug Peterson. I think the difference in the game is going to be Ezekiel Elliott. The Eagle wide receiving core is very banged up. The Eagle running core is not all that spectacular right now. So I think it's going to be kind of a tough game for Philadelphia. Monday night, you've got the Packers, who are favored over the Vikings, and we're hoping that the Vikings lose to the Packers bad. I hope you're here listening to that, Pat. But I think the Packers are going to show us that they really are a playoff team. Moving along, let's talk a little bit about our weather. It's cold out there, folks. I am actually getting a little tired of these double digits, low double digit temperatures. Right now it's 29 and fair. There's no wind. Thank you. Tomorrow's going to be partly sunny with a high of 36 and then down to 21 at night. Sunday, once again, up to 45 degrees and then down to 28. Monday, the last work day before the big holiday, might hit 50 with a low of 30. And then Tuesday, a travel day for most of us, mostly sunny with a high of 48 and then down around 31. And then Christmas Day, the best day of the year. Partly sunny, high near 46, no snow, huh? Christmas night, 33 degrees. So it looks like the weather is going to be getting a little warmer next week. So Santa and his sleigh are going to find it tough sledding because there's not going to be much snow. Let's hit that money button, and let's talk about some of our sponsors, who we very much appreciate year in and year out.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
And we're back. I've got a very balky microphone. It just seems to want to flop around, but I'm going to try to talk right into it. We've got a good bunch of hockey games on tonight. Dallas visiting Florida. The Dallas Stars are a great team. They're pretty hot right now. Washington, the conference leader over our struggling New Jersey Devils. What's wrong with those Devils? They just traded Jack Hughes for a lot of draft choices and a couple of minor leaguers. Toronto is playing the New York Rangers, and the Pittsburgh Penguins are way up in Edmonton, Alberta. Cold up there. If you've ever been there, it's a great city, but boy, it can get really cold in the winter. And then we're going to talk a little bit about tomorrow night's Flyers game. Flyers are up in Ottawa, and then on Monday, the Flyers are back in, excuse me, let's find it. Here we go. The Flyers are back in Philly, playing the Rangers 7 o'clock Tuesday night, an unusual Christmas Eve game. They're going to be honoring shirts. They'll be wearing shirts honoring Oscar Lindblom, who has just been diagnosed with bone cancer. Oscar Lindblom is a great young man. He's getting really tough. Had some real tough news when he was diagnosed with sarcoma, Ewing sarcoma, as a matter of fact. And then the jerseys will be sold after being autographed on January 2. They'll be auctioned off with proceeds to benefit the Ewing sarcoma research at the Sarcoma Foundation of America. So good luck, Oscar. We hope you recover your health quickly. You're in a great city, Philadelphia, and things should be going well for you. Meanwhile, Jack Eichel, a great power forward for the Buffalo Sabres, had a 17-point game point streak, and because of an upper body injury, did not play against Philadelphia the other night. They could have used him because the Sabres lost to the Flyers 6-1. Meanwhile, let's talk a little bit about what's going on with our New York Jets, a team that always manages to put the fun in dysfunctional. I understand that there is now a billboard purchased by Jet fans saying, let's get rid of Adam Gase. So we don't know how much longer Gase will be the coach. We know that this is his first year. Things have not gone well for him. And the Jets have occasionally shown a flash of playing well, and then a flash, and then for the most part, it just has not been pretty for our New York Jets. The Giants are still having a tough, tough, tough season. It does not look like they are going to be doing anything of any importance over the winter, but it looks like the Giants really do need to clean house and begin to get some better players, and perhaps even making a change in coaching. You have to wonder just what's really going on there. I mean, this is a storied franchise. The Giants have had a tremendous history of football. They have been one of the greater teams over many, many, many years. One of the guys I'd like to talk about, he was actually featured today in a couple of stories, is Golden Tate. Tate, as you know, was a Dolphin, then he was an Eagle, and now he's got a problem. He now has you know, maybe getting banned because of a problem with PED, a performance-enhancing drug ban. The Giants may try to avoid his contract based on the free agent deal he signed in March. He was their replacement for Odell Beckham Jr., but it didn't seem to work out. I think he's a great football player. He certainly has a knack for catching the ball. He's been productive through a frustrating 10-year career with a lot of teams, but Odell Beckham now faces an uncertain offseason, as does Tate. Tate signed a free agent contract in March for 4 years and $3.7 million and moved into a home of a former Giant. The Giants were allowed, though, to avoid his contract because of his suspension for performance-enhancing drugs. Getting cut is an unlikely outcome, made more realistic if the Giants change GMs. There's not 100% certainty in this. Tate certainly hopes and plans to be here. He wants to be a good leader in the locker room, and he wants to be productive. He's 31. He could be a handful of game changers on a roster that's really been depleted of high-end talent. And the Giants have cleared a lot of cap space to address other needs. They've got $72 million in cap space right now, so Tate's 2020 cap hit is $10.5 million. He is older than some of the older stars, or fellow stars like Sterling Shepard, Engram, and Saquon Barkley, and rookie receiver Darius Slayton. Slayton's development may lessen the need for him, so who knows what the future holds for Golden Tate. He has a good skill set. He has fresh eyes, but, you know, he could be redundant. It's a tough year for him. He started the first couple of games and struggled a little bit. Then he got injured, and then he claims to have gotten some bad advice from a doctor. He's second to Slayton with 512 receiving yards and five touchdowns despite missing those four games while he was suspended, and he missed another game with a concussion. His tipped ball scores of 64 yards against the Pats and 51 against the Dolphins could be a top reason for the season-ending highlight reel. He made some very good catches that have always been kind of tough for him, and hopefully he will continue to be a great player. I've enjoyed watching him both in Philadelphia and Miami, and I'm hopeful that he comes back. Let's see where we are with the hour. We're going to play a few more spots, and hopefully John will get here, and then I will let John do some of the talking. How's that, folks?
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, we're back. A couple things to watch this weekend when the Jets face off against the Steelers. Very good. Should be a good matchup. Adam Gase is going to be staring across the stadium looking at the kind of head coach career he'd like to have. Mike Tomlin and the Steelers have been nothing but a model of sustained consistency. They've excelled in the NFL outside of New England. You could be put off by Tomlin's sometimes brusque, I don't care what you think demeanor, but you can't argue with his success. He's delivered. He's in his 13th season. Only Bill Belichick has survived longer as an NFL coach. Been in the playoffs 8 of 12 years without a single losing season. He accomplished a great deal this year. This might have been his best coaching year because the Steelers have been banged up. They lost their best player in Ben Roethlisberger. They got rid of Le'Veon Bell to the Jets, and it should be an interesting matchup because although it's not a grudge match as I see it, the Jets could play spoilers with the Steelers. The Steelers right now are tied with the Titans for the second wild card playoff berth, and they're playing a third-string quarterback, Devlin Hodges, who was an undrafted free agent out of Sanford, Florida. When Gase looks across the field at Tomlin on Sunday, he's going to see a head coach go down to his third-string quarterback because of an injury to his franchise starter. And, you know, as you know, Gase lost Sam Darnold to mononucleosis for 3 weeks and then lost his backup, Trevor Siemian, to an injury and was forced to play 3 games with third-stringer Luke Falk. And that's really put a bullet in the head of the Jets football season. They lost to the Browns in Week 2, 23-3. They lost to the Pates, 30-14 in Week 3, and they lost 31-6 to my Philadelphia Eagles in Week 4. By the time Darnold returned, the Jets were 0-4 rather, on a route to 1-7, and you could have stuck a fork into them. Then Tomlin lost Roethlisberger in Week 2. When he hurt his right elbow, he went to the backup, Marion Rudolph, who lost in his first start, making the Steelers 0-3. After an October 6 overtime loss to the Ravens, Pittsburgh was 1-4, and they were staggering. Gase said that he admired Tomlin, who he thought did a great job. It's not an easy thing to do to handle that kind of a bump in the road and bring a team back to 8-6. The Steelers' consistency is something that's eluded the Jets for many years. This season, and for as long as I can remember, the Jets have just not been a consistent football team. We have a real problem with the Jets. Here we are in New York, the biggest and loudest center of media. They should be a great team, but just don't have the roster these days. They don't have the luxury of pass rushing guys like T.J. Watt or Alan Dupre or Cam Haywood or great safeties like Mikal Fitzpatrick. The Pittsburgh O-line is far better than that of the Jets as well. Pittsburgh, it's always been a team where there's no excuses and being resilient. And with the Jets, who knows? You have to respect what the Steelers have done as an organization and you know, they deal with adversity just like the Eagles did in 17. It was always next guy up. I can tell you that in Philadelphia, we really do appreciate winners because they come so few and far between. The Jets, on the other hand, just don't seem to be able to turn it around. When you take a field, you take it as a team. You can't make excuses, and you've got to play hard. They put on their nameless game face, and that's how the Steelers play football. The Sunday kickoff is at 1 o'clock. I had hoped to go to the game, but unfortunately, family things have intervened. And so I'll be watching with friends and family members on Sunday, and hopefully we'll see Sam Darnold continue to develop as he gets tested by a very tough Steeler defense. This is Darnold's second season. He's got to play against two tough defenses. Last week against the Ravens, he had some good moments and some bad ones. This week it's the Steelers. And the week after, they're playing the Bills. So Darnold is really getting tested in his sophomore year. And we're soon going to see just what he's all about. Once again, Sam Darnold is somebody I like watching. We know that he plays well. We know he can play hard. And we know that Sam Darnold has a bright future ahead of him. One of the questions that we'll see answered 1 o'clock on Sunday is whether Robbie Anderson, who went home with the flu, is going to play. So a lot of change going on in New York. And, you know, we have a lot more to talk about. As you know, bowl season is here. The Bahamas Bowl is tonight, and that's Buffalo against Charlotte. And then with Frisco tomorrow, the Frisco Bowl, tonight with Kent State over Ohio. And I'm looking to see where my Temple Owls might have gotten invited. I think they're somewhere down in Florida. Let's take a quick look at the net and see if their owl's got to go anywhere. Doesn't look like it. So moving along, you know, lots of change in New York, lots of change in New York sports. As you know, the Knicks let a coach go. They are probably the one tough spot in New York sports because they just have been bad for so long, just like the Jets. It's kind of hard to figure out why. I mean, the Dolans hire competent coaches. They try to get good players, but there's just something not working out well for them. Moving along, I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the stuff I'm doing this winter. I am taking a couple of boating courses. I do them online. They're very interesting to me. It's a time of year where the boat's put away. I'm now also refinishing woodwork that I brought home and thinking about where I want to go next year. One of the things that I like about winter is it's a time to sit back, reflect, and think about what you'd like to do next with your life. And I am thinking that I would like to go back to the British Virgin Islands, join a flotilla of other boats, and go from island to island. It's a lot of fun. It's really neat because you fly into Puerto Rico and San Juan Airport, which is a very good modern airport. And then you take a small puddle jumper plane for about 30 minutes over to Tortola, and there's a small airport on Tortola, and what happens is you then take a bus or a car or get taxi service over to big yachting center, which is Road Town on Tortola, where the moorings has a base, or over to the west side of the island where there are a couple of other charter companies with bases. For those of you who haven't been in the British Virgin Islands, they're truly beautiful, unspoiled, and they've managed to bounce back from hurricanes. And we now have John Manfreda, who is showing up resplendent in his Red Sox jacket, hat, and with his coffee all cranked and ready to go. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, Bill. There's unfortunately an accident on 31, so I've been sitting in some traffic. Hopefully everybody is okay with that. But we finally made it here, and thank you for that nice introduction. I appreciate it. Great to see you today. Unfortunately, Pat can't be here, so we miss her a great deal. But, Bill?
We're going to shout out to Pat and Dave, because Dave's not feeling well.
Dave's not doing well, and
recovery.
Absolutely, Bill, and prayer and good wishes will hopefully help him along. So,
John, let's hear about those Giants. They're playing the Redskins this week.
Yeah, got to be. Talk about a dog of a game. But I thought you were going to pop right into the Dallas-Philadelphia game.
Well,
but we'll get there.
We'll get there for sure. I always save the best for last, John. You know that.
Yeah, there you go, Bill. I mean, it's funny how you characterize it that way. I wouldn't necessarily agree, but we can certainly save that for the last. As far as the Giants and the Redskins go, you're talking about two teams with a lot of potential for the future, two young quarterbacks, both drafted in the first round, Daniel Jones, 6th by the Giants, and Dwayne Haskins, number 17 by the Redskins. I think at this stage, Jones is, I don't want to say significantly further along than Haskins, but he's further along. He unfortunately has been injured, hasn't played the last 2 weeks, and at this point, I don't know if they've made a decision about him playing Sunday. I think he is going to play. I get that sense that he'll get that call. But we'll see. But the Redskins, like the Giants, have a lot of holes. I think the game, Bill, is interesting from the perspective of the rookies, the young players, the future of two great organizations who between them have won 7 Super Bowls. Not bad. That's 14, certainly under 14% of all Super Bowls. classic NFC East teams. So I think if you're looking for an exciting game, probably not the game to watch. But if you're looking from a fan's perspective of future development, where they're going as flagship franchises, I think from that perspective, there's some interest in the game.
Well, that's true, John. If you're going to be looking to see who the stars of the future are, you may be seeing a couple bright spots in this game. I know the Giants have struggled and struggled badly. I personally don't know that Dave Gettleman is going to be back. I don't know how well the Giants are thinking of him as a GM. He hasn't made the kind of moves everybody would like to see. We know that there have been some problems with a couple of his players over a number of reasons. One thing that's interesting is they went to replace Odell Beckham with Golden Tate. Golden Tate, as I discussed before, may not be coming back for the Giants since a couple of the rookies in the receiving corps are starting to stand out. And who are those guys, John?
Well, this kid Slayton, and you have to give Gettleman credit for that. He found that kid who seems to have good speed and some moves and is willing to, you know, leap and get the ball. He's willing to, you know, fight his way for the ball and get into the action. So I think that in terms of the Giants receivers, I think they'd like to have Tate back. I don't know how expensive he's going to be. Funny, a guy like that, Bill, he's got talent, decent receiver. I'd say he's a B-plus receiver, but he's been with so many different teams.
Well, Dolphins, Eagles, now the Giants.
I thought he was with the Cowboys, too.
Was he really?
Yeah, I think he went Dolphins, Eagles, Giants. No, Dolphins, Eagles, Cowboys, Giants, I think it was, you know?
Because I liked him as an Eagle. I thought he could catch the ball. I thought he had decent speed. I thought he ran good patterns. And I also thought he had some smarts in the locker room. I know he had a suspension because of performance enhancing.
Yeah, and that was very unfair because, as you know, the drug he took was in the nature of a fertility drug because he and his wife were starting a family. And the NFL, if they were ever going to carve out an exception, that would have been it. And they didn't do it. And they suspended him for it. I thought that was punitive. I think the lesson to be learned from that is you got to tell the league ahead of time, hey, the doctors have prescribed me to take this drug. I want an exemption. Rather than take it and hope you don't get caught. And I think that's what's going on there.
I have to agree with you. I didn't realize until earlier today that was the reason for his suspension. And I thought that was unfair. I recognize the NFL has this policy, but a lot of these players play hurt. A lot of these players play banged up. And that, if there was a time to make an exception, it was then. It's hard to know what's right. The other game that, of course, we're all dying to talk about is Dallas and Philly. I think the Eagles are in Dallas this weekend.
No, it's in Philadelphia. So they're in Philly because they got shellacked by the Cowboys in Big D about 6 weeks ago.
Well, I can't see, as much of an Eagle fan as I am, let me preface it by saying I can't see why the Eagles win. I recognize that Dak Prescott's hurt and he's got a problem with the elbow. The Eagles are very banged up, and I don't know if they're going to stop Ezekiel Elliott. What's your take?
I agree with you, Bill. I think this is the recipe is run Elliott, and the Philly secondary is kind of banged up. I think what will happen is Prescott will take a few shots, maybe catch a couple of deep balls. But you're right. I think their main goal, and Philly's not an easy team to run on, but at this stage of the season where they're banged up, I think they'll run Elliott. The Cowboy offensive line is also banged up, Bill, and that's why they've not had that outstanding year where they're just a bunch of road graders mowing everybody down. Elliott's had a good year, but he's had to get a lot of it on his own with big plays. The days of the Cowboys offensive line dominating the line of scrimmage just haven't been there this year. So Philly may be able to run enough interference to slow Elliott down. I really think this game stays close into the fourth quarter. And then I think I see Dallas pulling away with a big play. It'll be interesting to see if Wentz can perform against a decent defense such as the Cowboys. I think it's a big game for Carson Wentz because clearly the division's on the line.
I think this is a signature game for Carson Wentz, to be frank, because Carson Wentz, as you know, has had injuries the first 3 years he was there. This is his first relatively injury-free season. Unfortunately, the receivers around him and the blocking around him this year has not been what we had hoped.
It hasn't been what it was the last couple of years. That's
certainly
right.
Not. But, you know, he's got Demaryius Ward, who was not even in the practice squad a month ago, who caught a touchdown against Washington, where Wentz really had to thread the needle. Demaryius Ward was in the end zone, in the corner of the end zone, at the back, and Wentz put a ball past not one, but three Washington defenders, each of whom had a chance to grab that ball.
He throws a good ball, Bill. I agree, with a lot of zip on it.
He sure did.
He's got arm strength. The question is accuracy with Wentz.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, I notice is you don't see Carson Wentz going for that Grand Slam home run ball.
Well, he hasn't had the receivers to do it, to your point, Bill.
That's the problem. Well, maybe he's found one. What do you think, John?
Well, you're referring to
Ward.
Ward, who has emerged in the shadow of the receivers who've been hurt, Jeffries, of course, Aguilar's not well, and then Jackson, Deshaun Jackson, you know, really hasn't played much the second half of the season. So it's given this guy an opportunity, and he's played his way into it. He seems like a legitimate front-line starting wide receiver in this league.
Well, we are looking forward to a good Sunday, a good Saturday. It's like tomorrow is a Saturday the NFL starts playing and the bowl games start getting into gear as well. Is there a bowl game you like to watch, John?
Well, obviously some of the big games, big bowl games are interesting, but I think a lot of your second-tier bowl games that involve teams who may not be in the top 20, 25, but they're only a player or two away. They're good teams with good kids and great programs, coaches who do it right. They don't cheat. And, you know, maybe they're not top 10, but they're, you know, top 30, top 40 teams. And they put on a good show. Kids try real hard. You get exciting football close down to the end. Bill, there's nothing wrong with that just because they're not playing for a national championship.
Oh, I quite agree. I think a bowl game is an exciting experience for a young person. I think a bowl game is an exciting experience whether you're a player or a fan or a student fan. To see your school go to one of these is like having a midwinter vacation or a late fall vacation.
Exactly.
In the Pacific.
Yeah.
Well, John, I wanted to ask, what are you going to do now that football's over? Your New Jersey Devils are struggling. They just traded away Jack Hughes, and who did they get for him?
Well, they didn't trade number one pick Jack Hughes. They traded away Taylor Hall. And I was surprised because they wound up getting three prospects and two picks for Taylor Hall. I was totally shocked that they got that kind of a haul for Hall. And I think it was a great move because clearly the team isn't good enough with its defensive issues and goaltending concerns to compete this year. So they're putting a decent product on the ice, but they're building for the future, clearly looking towards next season already. But I think they made a good move. Hall didn't want to be there anymore. Give him a chance to, you know, play in the Western Conference and you know, back from whence he came and build for the future at the same time. So I thought it was a good move, Bill.
Well, I noticed that the Devils seem to have problems on defense. The goaltending is not what we had hoped. Hopefully they can draft somebody.
Well, you know what's interesting, Bill? They went almost 20 years as a defensive team with Brodeur in goal, Stevens, Danico, Scott Niedermeyer. I mean, I can't tell you literally hundreds of defensive masterpieces I attended in the Meadowlands and in Newark, 2-1 games, 3-2 games. I mean, the Devils were, that was their game. If they were ahead of you, they blew so few third period leads. They were, you know, maybe you had 50 or 60 of those games a year, and they won, you know, 49 or 55 of them. They very rarely blew a lead late because they were savvy defensive teams. And the team, I think what happened there, and it's a bit counterintuitive, but you see this in all sports, if your strength is defensive play, you wind up drafting offensive players. So you go through a period of years where you think you're solid on defense. Meanwhile, those guys are getting older, they're getting injured, and 4 or 5 years goes by and you haven't drafted any big-time defensive players because you're trying to beef up your offense. Next thing you know, your core defense has decayed and you can't rebuild it overnight. And then maybe the next upcoming few drafts don't have any good goaltenders. They're not rich with defensemen. So now you're a couple of more years out. And that's what's happened to the Devils, who last made the finals in 2012. You know, it's been 7 years, and that's what's happened. Their defense got old. They drafted some players, didn't pan out. Then you had some drafts that were rich offensive type drafts, and they reached for some defensive picks that didn't work out. So the bottom line is you've got to have a balanced draft. You got to select well, and they just haven't been able to do that. Some of it's been bad luck. A lot of it's just been, you know, misevaluation.
Well, to your point, John, and the point is well taken, with the Devils, first you had to play the neutral zone trap. Then late in the game, there was always a left-wing lock. And if somebody made a mistake, there was always the amazing Martin Brodeur, who could stop just about anything. I can think of times where the Devils would be overwhelmed, but yet...
But somehow hang on, because defensively they could play Katie Bar the door and get it done. And you're absolutely right about that. As a season ticket holder for 25 years, and many of those games, many of those games you were with me, we witnessed, and you and I are, I was going to say fine students of the game, but, you know, on this show we don't like to toot our own horn, but we're pretty good hockey fans. You and I could appreciate the defensive play, the subtleties, clearing the zone, not giving up two-on-ones, goaltending, covering the post, not giving up cheap goals, soft goals. You know, we could appreciate that. The problem is the fan base in general wants to see 5-6 goals a game scored. Those Devil teams were not going to score 5 or 6 goals a game. They didn't need to. Sometimes 2 goals got it done, and they win 2-0 or 2-1. And I think it just got away from them, Bill. And you see that. Hockey is very cyclical. Look at the Flyers the last couple of years, your team. You've had, you know, 2 years ago, you had the Ghosts come up. Their defense suddenly was playing better. Good speed on defense, and you thought you found a goaltender, and they worked their way into playoffs a couple of years. Didn't go that far, but the team, you know, was able to turn it around into a respectable playoff team. Hockey's very cyclical that way, and then they go back into the dumper, and you go a couple of years without playoffs again. I really thought this was going to be a year that both New Jersey and Philadelphia were going to renew that rivalry and, you know, beef up their defense, already had drafted some good offensive players, and would be a solid team. Hasn't happened, Bill.
Well, the Flyers have certainly picked it up. They stomped on the Sabres last night 6-1. With Jack Eichel out of the Buffalo lineup, and they got scoring from a lot of their younger guys. And as you know, it was an emotional game for the Flyers, given that Oscar Lindblom's been diagnosed with bone cancer. He's been diagnosed with some form of sarcoma.
Right, right.
So this was an emotional game for the Philadelphia Flyers, and they certainly answered the bell. Moving along, though, I wanted to get back to your point. The Devils defensively have not been good. Part of their problem is P.K. Subban is just not going to play 60 minutes. He's a great hockey player. He's a great personality and a great locker room guy. But
He is not going to score a lot of goals, and he can't do it all by himself. I'm a tremendous admirer of his. But what about Jack Hughes? How's he been doing this year?
I think he's had a decent rookie year. He would benefit more from a stronger supporting cast around him. I think the problem for him this year has been, you know, systematic with the Devils, and that is they've been playing from behind so much.
Well, that's true. But the other thing, too, is you've just had a coach get fired. Peter DeBoer didn't last very long either. And it seems like they pick a coach. He's there for 18 months, and then he's gone. For a season and a half, and then he's gone. And,
yep.
That's not just going to work. It's not like the Jacques Lemaire era that we all think of fondly, except for the
guys
from, like, the Flyers, where there was consistency in a system. The Flyers made perhaps a mistake bringing in Haxtell, although he did bring along a lot of young guys and coaches.
Yeah, I actually think Hex did a pretty decent job. Yeah. It was a big rebuild that he had when he came in, and he added some players.
Yeah, and Ron Hextall, who's no longer the GM after, you know, for 2 years, certainly developed a deep farm system and a deep draft. And I think the Devils have to go back to something like that.
I agree, and that's why I really think they're 2 to 3 years away. They've certainly got, you know, Hershey, Hughes, a couple of top picks, literally number one overall picks, who are going to be around for a long, long time. You can build around them. But, you know, hockey starts from the goal out, and you have to build it with the goaltender and work out.
And NHL goaltenders are few and far between.
You know, if you go back 5-7 years ago, you had a plethora of excellent top goalies in the league. Some teams had two deep. Now, goaltending is not that great.
Well, you'll take a look at Philadelphia. Carter Hart certainly showing, even at the age of 21, that he's a heck of a goalie. And he's backed up by Brian Elliott, who is in for the Flames, was kind of getting a little burned out and perhaps a little singed around the edges, no pun. Sorry. But, you know, he was adequate with the Flyers. He could steal a game now and then. And I find Carter Hart more exciting to watch, although Hart, being a young guy, has made his mistakes. He was pulled a couple of times where he had 4-goal first periods. And when you play in behind a young defense, you're going to get hung out to dry.
Yeah, and that's what's happened to the Devils as well.
Exactly. It's just about time for us to take a commercial break on this cold Friday afternoon just before Christmas. So let's hit the money button. We'll play a few spots, and we'll be right
back. We'll be right back.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Huntington Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4255. HMC, or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And we're back. It's cold. It's icy. It's 28 degrees out. And Bill Wolfson and John Manfreda
here. But, Bill, it's hot right here with the sports guys.
Yeah. So I hope our fan base can hear me. I understand we had a text saying my voice was not coming in loud and clear. So now I've got the mic real close, and hopefully that's a whole lot better. But people don't want to hear from me. They'd rather hear from John.
Well, I don't know about that, Bill. They probably hear from me too much. But moving on, let's get back for a moment to that Cowboy game. I think it's going to be a heck of a great game to watch. Both teams are, 6-7, I think they are?
No, they're...
Are they 7-7?
7-7.
Yeah, I mean...
Two to go.
I mean, you got to get in and at least be 9-7 to have some... Do you realize one team could win that division at 8-8? How embarrassing for the NFC East.
Well, I wouldn't be embarrassed. I'd be happy if it were the Eagles. Because you never know. Remember, the Giants were 9-7.
The Giants were 9-7 and won a Super Bowl. You're right.
And
that's true.
Next week, the week after this, the Eagles have the struggling Giants. And who does Dallas play next week?
I think they play a weak team. I don't think they play anybody strong. I can't remember.
I think Dallas plays the Bills.
Oh, that's... No, wait a minute. No, Dallas played the Bills.
Did they play them all?
They played the Bills. It's not the Bills.
Who did they play?
I don't remember.
We'll have to look this up.
Yeah.
Because
if you remember, the Bills went into Big D and destroyed them.
That's right.
On Thanksgiving Day.
That's right. I watched the game, and now that you mentioned they did play the Bills, so I don't remember who they play. But we'll have to figure this out. It's always a tough thing.
Well, the Eagles have the Giants next week, so you got to figure they're going to win that game.
That's right.
Clearly, Sunday's game is for the division, and I think it'll just be a great competition, and neither team do I think is a serious threat to win the NFC, but it'll be nice to see, you know, the competition and have somebody emerge and make a credible showing going into the playoffs. I got to tell you, the Saints look so strong. The Seahawks have kind of cooled off a little bit, but the Saints and the Vikings, I really think right now the Saints are the hottest team.
That could very well be, John. They're what, 10-4?
Yes, but you know what, Bill?
And
the Packers are too. I actually was checking my futures betting slips from Las Vegas that I purchased last March, and I actually have a Super Bowl ticket for the Seattle Seahawks. So secretly, I guess I could be, even though I'd be rooting more, I think, for the Packers, for Pat and for Gracie and other people I know who are big Packers fans. But then again, you know, I wouldn't mind winning some extra money, winning another Super Bowl bet when I go back out to Vegas to cash that winning ticket.
It's always fun to cash that ticket, isn't it?
It is. But, Bill, who is going to beat the Baltimore Ravens of the AFC?
I don't think it's going to be the Patriots.
They've already soundly beaten the Patriots.
Right. And I don't think it's going to be the Chiefs. I think the Ravens are on the freight train to the Super Bowl.
I think the Chiefs have the best shot to upset the Ravens simply because of Mahomes and that big offensive machine. The problem is the Chiefs on defense will never stop Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. So, I mean, if you have an AFC championship game, Chiefs-Ravens, I'll bet the over-under in that game would be in the 70s. I really do.
Well, that's exciting to hear.
And, yeah, that is a fan's delight to watch 70 points put up on the board, and you can easily see that. that would be a wonderful AFC championship game to watch.
Well, that's true. And, you know, I've always been a Chiefs fan. I'm not a fan of the Baltimore Ravens because my brother-in-law is such a hot Steelers fan. And although we were hoping to go to the game this weekend, he's not feeling well. So, Lance, I hope you're better by the time I get out there for Christmas. Folks, I was very, very surprised. You know, the closer you get to a game, particularly where the teams are struggling, the cheaper the seats become.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the closer you get to an event, the more the level of anxiety and excitement increases. Oh. And I find that to be the case. As you get close to a big event, for example, if something were happening a week from today, there's a certain level of excitement and anxiety. But as you approach the big day and get to this monumental event, the excitement increases, and that's what it's all about.
Well, that's true. And, you know, I always think that half the fun of sports is the anticipation. Sometimes the anticipation is almost as much fun as the event, especially when your team wins in the last couple of seconds.
This is true. And, you know, the big payoff, the big climax at the end is always makes it worth it. And, you know, as you say, the anticipation, the building excitement, here we are, let's go. It, you know, is something that, you know, you just, it's indescribable. And, you know, you have to just hope that it works out the way you want it to.
Well, that's always the case for us.
And I know you're rooting for the Eagles, and you'd like to see that division title. And at this point, Bill, I hate to root against you. And at this point,
you're a Cowboys lover.
For one day, I'm going to be a Cowboys lover, I guess. Never thought I would say that. It's sacrilegious. Cardinal sin as a Giants fan, but
well, you got to root for somebody to win.
The main reason is I know the Cowboys, if they win the game, they win the division for all intents and purposes, and they'll fall flat on their face in the play. I love to see Dak and the Cowboys get in the playoffs and get squashed like bugs.
Oh, you mean by a team like New Orleans or Minnesota or the Packers?
Yeah, I don't think the Cowboys could play with either of those teams. Whereas the Eagles, I don't think they have the talent, but they seem to have this uncanny ability to win big games. Like when they upset the Packers in Green Bay early in the season, week two, who would have thought? You know, the Packers were on the goal line, they intercept, and you never thought that was going to happen. But I think they have that intangible that sometimes allows them to pick up a win when you wouldn't expect it.
Well, that's why we play the game. I think the Eagles are going to spoil the Cowboys' season if they win. And remember, the Eagles have the Giants next week. And, John, can you check and see who the Cowboys play in the week after? That's going to be a December 30th game, is it? Or 29th game?
Let's see. I'll see what I can do to try to find that. But I'm pretty sure it's a weak. I'm pretty sure it's a weak opponent, which is why most experts feel that the winner of the game Sunday will undoubtedly win the division, because both teams are expected to win the final game of the season.
Well, you know, while John's looking, I wanted to talk again a little bit about boating. This is the slow time of year for boaters.
You would think this would be pretty slow for boating, yeah.
It is, but it's a time of year where we bring home all the woodworking we have to do and fixing things and thinking about the new electronics that Santa Claus or Hanukkah Harry's going to bring us. I already have a new autopilot, and I'm arranging for it to get installed in March or early April. And I'm also checking out some new marinas. I may want to make a switch. I've got to make a decision before February, and
I'm gonna take some time and do that. It was a tough season last year between weather and not being able to find the time because of.
Oh, I just got the answer. The Cowboys
are playing
the Washington Redskins next week, who are 3-11, and I think that's why.
So let me ask you a question. So,
yeah,
if the Eagles beat Dallas, is Dallas showing up for this penultimate game?
Well, they have to, because if the Eagles beat Dallas, they have to win the last game and hope that somehow the Giants. Eagles get upset by the Giants in the
now
final
they
week.
8-8, and they've split their season series, one win each. And how do we deal with a tiebreaker? Do you know?
Well, the tiebreakers in the NFL are very difficult to decipher. The obvious immediate first number one tiebreaker is the head-to-head. Then I believe it's record within the division, and then it's record within the conference.
Mm-hmm. Record within the conference. Who has a better record within the conference? I think it's Philadelphia.
It very well could be, because I believe the Cowboys have lost. Well, the Cowboys have lost most of their games to the AFC East. You know, they lost to Miami, to New England, and Buffalo.
But remember, Dallas also lost to Green Bay.
And
Dallas lost to, I believe Dallas lost to the Saints, although they did beat the Rams, which was a surprise to me. And the Rams are a conference team. So
yes,
we've got a little less than 2 minutes to go. We're about ready to shove off for the weekend, folks. I want to tell everybody once again, although it's cold, get up off that couch. It's going to be sunny. Get out in that fresh air. It may actually get above freezing. I'm going to try to get some fresh air myself this weekend.
And, Bill, just a quick shout-out to everybody. It is a very sacred holiday week coming up. For Christians, and I just want to express my warm, sincere wishes for a very happy and healthy holiday to all, and especially those who are close to me, and wish you all safe travel. I will have a child traveling, actually two children traveling over the holiday and flying, and I wish everybody a safe journey and a happy landing. I will next be back in 2 weeks, a week from today. I will find myself in a very foreign jurisdiction that hopefully I'll be able to find my way out of the wilderness and back to civilization in New Jersey.
Well, I don't know that you can really call New Jersey civilized the way things go in Trenton, but John, I wish you happy journeys. Anyone who is traveling this holiday season, as I will be to central Pennsylvania, have a safe trip. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Hanukkah starts the night of the 23rd, which is Sunday, I believe, Sunday night. We're all going to wish everybody a great new year, a safe trip, safe travel, and we're going to tell you, try to get up off that couch and enjoy all those games.
Thank you for listening, everyone. Take good care.
Critical role in your company, trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee critical role in your company, trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534. critical role in your company, trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534- critical role in your company, trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534- critical role in your company, trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find